The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back once again to part two of our Saturday morning live and local lineup here on 710 KNUS, where we kick it off in the morning. Jimmy Sangenberger, I take you up till noon. The Bird Talk guys come in. And, of course, the Liberty Bookend on Sunday nights with Matt Dunn and Backbone Radio. I think we're the only live and local Saturday morning lineup in the area. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. It did happen once. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, yeah, I remember. I thought I was wrong one time, and I wasn't. But anyway, it's good to have you here. There's so much to do. I just don't know where to start, man. I don't know if my promo played this week at all, but I mentioned in there my last HOA meeting. I've been president of my homeowners association for a couple of terms, and term limited, so it was the last annual, 60-some people or more in a room. And my last meeting, I was escorted, well, not really escorted out, but I had to leave the meeting early, and it involved the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department. So I'm going to look forward to telling you that story. Boy, just yesterday I had my first year, my first annual check-in with Dr. Julie McCallan, and there's some exciting news over there at Cenogenics. We're going to get into that. Got some audio, too, of a new doctor that she's bringing in that I can't wait to meet. In fact, we're going to try really hard to get those guys in studio sometime very, very soon. You will want to stick around for my big apology to Kyle Clark and all of his minions and supporters and his replay artists who really like to share his thoughts with you. And I just feel like I owe him an apology for referring to creepy, sleepy, zombie, putative President Joe Biden as a pedophile last week. So we'll see if we can squeeze that in here sometime soon. Our phone number, 303-696-1971. 696-1971, and remember, the phone lines pack up around here, so get while the getting's good. We're going to do an awful lot of open lines today, so just stay tight. Get that speed dial going. We've got the 710 KNUS text-to-studio app, which if you have a smartphone, you can download it, listen to us anywhere you have an internet signal, and push a button, text the studio, pops up on a bright big screen to my right, and just love that live interaction. Sometimes I can take a minute and respond during a commercial break or, you know, if I have a guest who's talking or whatever. Lawyers learn to multitask. And so that's not, although sometimes I'll have to say, usually the only time I miss a really important comment or lose the flow of a conversation with a caller or a guest is if somebody's talking in my ear, like the producers say, "You're 10 minutes late on your break, get to break," or whatever. It's a little hard to, well, you can't hear them if they're whispering in your ear. But for the most part, we seem to get it done. 303-696-1971 as the phones are already lighting up. And, man, we do appreciate that. Gubernatorial candidate Greg Lopez was in the news last week, part of the Kyle Clark fan club replay. We'll talk to him in the 10 o'clock hour. But I think other than that, maybe a check-in or two from folks that have things going on this weekend. I think it's just you and me today. 303-696-1971. Monday night? Gosh, the days all run together. We had that prayer vigil at the Centennial Institute for the Roe v. Wade case. And, you know, vigil, prayer rally may be a better way. It was a rah-rah thing. And I had the honor of speaking to the group. Pastor and musician, and now my good friend Biff Gore was there along with his wife. Not all the seven kids were not along. That would have filled the room, but he went right before me, and so tough act to follow. But it was just a joy to be there with a wide array of people, including Democrats for Life. And the Democrats for Life speaker, I mean, we were asked to, I think, limit ourselves to 7 minutes, and the guy just went on and on. But he had some wonderful things to say, and it's really powerful to realize that in this polarized era, with all the battle lines being drawn and government government ever more encroaching into your freedoms, into your health, and into your, for instance, of course, your decisions to take a vaccine, an untried, untested vaccine. It's really interesting to watch the dividing lines and yet find that on such a crucial issue as protecting the unborn inside the womb, Democrats can come together. And it seems like Democrats for Life are very, very committed and impassioned and active on that particular issue. So it was actually fun to get together with Democrats. I rip them all the time. I poke fun at them all the time. And it's kind of unavoidable, really. And speaking of the vaccine, let's see, all this nice color coding going on. Hold on 1 second there. I want to pop something on here. Where was it? There's this whole collage. There it is. There's a whole collage. Just remember this. All of the Democrats and the squishy, wiggly Republicans telling you, get vaxxed, get vaxxed. Fortunately, very few Republicans think there should be a vax mandate, although we had 19 Senate Republicans apparently vote on, to help keep the government open, voted on a database of the unvaxxed. But obviously, it's the sleepy, creepy, zombie, putative President Joe Biden administration and all of his cabinet and experts and authorities that are telling you that you must get vaccinated. We've got the, oh my God, it's Omicron virus now here, the variant of the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus here in Colorado. And what did we learn? That the woman who brought it here from Africa, fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated. And what's the caveat? Well, she hadn't had her booster yet. 3 months from now, when someone who's fully vaccinated gets the next variant, it'll be, well, they hadn't had her fourth booster yet, his or her sixth booster yet. It's never going to end with these people. And of course, just like they did last year, a virus with a 99.4, remarkably high survival rate. All they wanted to shove down your throat was case numbers, case numbers, case numbers. They're doing the same with the Omicron, and they rarely tell you, or they tag it on at the end. No deaths have been reported. It's a mild sickness if you get the Omicron. But remember what these same liars and losers were saying, gosh, just a little over a year ago.
I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it? Well, it's going to be for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
We will need to have access to the vaccine results so we can make our independent assessment to make sure that Donald Trump's fingerprints are not on it.
You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government's opinion.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency.
Would you trust that vaccine?
There's very little that we can trust that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
We cannot take for granted this process will be free of political influence.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these two questions, the American people should not have confidence.
You're
you're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine, it was new, it was done quickly, but trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe?
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump.
Hey, how confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
How confident am I? I'm not that confident.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
You've got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's a consensus this is a safe vaccine.
What I'm worried about is that there's some sort of October surprise and that there is a pressure put on the decision makers here to announce a vaccine in October of 2020.
We're going to put together our own group of doctors and medical experts to review the vaccine and the efficacy and the protocol. And if they say it's safe, then I'll go to the people of New York and I will say it's safe.
But if Donald Trump tells us we should take it, I'm not taking it.
That's all you heard day after day after day. While Donald Trump, who promotes this vaccine, promotes it, while he broke the world's record for getting the technology available to the public. And I should have pulled this clip. You remember back when Fauci said, you know, we would never mandate something like this. And then, well, it's an emergency use authorization, so it's not something we can mandate. And then they lied about what was approved versus what's actually available so that they could say, well, now it's no longer an emergency. Now it's a full-fledged, fully available, fully tested virus, and you know, or vaccine, I mean. And you know, it's you think about, oh, gosh, a radio host died, unvaccinated radio host died of COVID. Now, you know, he was in his 60s and his health wasn't very good. And if he would have just gotten vaxxed, well, I can give you an equally tragic list of people like my own friend and police officer, 32 years old, father of four, full-blown COVID last year, forced to take the vax on August 22nd, couldn't walk by August 31st. What about Maddie, the 13 or 14-year-old girl, now in a wheelchair? She was an athletic horse rider, a bubbly little girl or young lady, young woman, and now she's in a wheelchair and in pain all the time. So, you know, for every one of those anecdotal stories, there's another that goes the other way. And I just don't accept the guilt-tripping or the shaming of people who understand that this is a dangerous vaccine, potentially, for a large number of people. Check out the VAERS portion of the CDC website, and it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. The reason that the vaxxers are so intent on you getting vaccinated is because they know their vaccination doesn't protect them from anything. And it's just getting worse and worse. All of these vaccinated people, I have one plane into Europe with 14 Omicron victims or sufferers on there, all of them fully vaccinated. You get these reports, 50% of the people in the hospitals are unvaccinated. What does that mean? That means the other 50% are vaccinated. That's a coin toss. So, and you're going to get excited when you hear some of this great new news about Cenogenics and the addition of Dr. Tim Watts. Got some audio from him that you're just going to love. I pray we can get them into studio sometime, some Saturday here, very, very soon. Because there's an entire other side to this story, and it must be told. I know we've got full lines. I've got a few more minutes. Let me just get into one other topic, and then we'll jump to the phones, try and get each and every one of you in before we get to the break. 303-696-1971 when we get a caller picked up. I got to listen to Jimmy coming in around 8:30, and he was talking about this, the parents of this Michigan kid who shot up, you know, another school shooting. And I want to be very careful here because we're talking about a school shooting. It's such a sensitive issue. But the examples of the lack of clarity and the bias built into the media reporting is extraordinary to me. Now, I don't have a clear grasp of any facts yet. This is just various news reporting that's going on. So I don't know if charging these parents with involuntary manslaughter is the right thing to do or not. What we're told is that the kid was with the dad when he went and bought the gun that was used in this shooting. Now, in some reporting, it's just the kid was there with him. In other reporting, the father purchased the gun for the child. So right away, you don't know what's going on. Then the next thing that we hear is that the gun was loaded gun, I believe, but the gun was in a dresser drawer. And I don't know what the Michigan law is on storing firearms or separating firearms from ammunition. But, you know, when I hear this kind of a story or when I see what the Colorado legislature did to Colorado gun owners, lawful gun owners last year, you have to scratch your head and say, what good is my gun when a home invader or a robber or a rapist comes into my teenage daughter's bedroom armed, or more than one person comes in, or my wife is home alone? What good does that gun do in a gun safe? What good does that gun do if the gun has to be separated from the ammunition? I know nothing about these parents and this child, or what they knew about this child, or just how disturbed he was acting outwardly. Sounds like the drawing that the school found was extraordinarily red flag. I don't even want to use that word because of the legal connotations in Colorado. Red light. Check this out. But the school saw that note. A teacher saw the note. And they didn't remove this kid. They didn't call in, and I know people like to use the term school resource officer now. They didn't call in the school cop to say, hey, man, we need to find out about this. Get these parents in here. Maybe we should take a look, you know, in a backpack. Maybe he'll say something that will give us cause. And in fact, you know, in school property, the Supreme Court has pretty well said once you step foot onto that public school, you're subject to being searched as a student there. I don't think that's changed. It's been years since I've looked into that issue. But the school didn't do anything. They called the parents and... you know, obviously some kind of mechanism was going to be put into play. But why aren't some of these school folks being charged with involuntary manslaughter? It looks like, it sounds like they had more knowledge of a meltdown happening right that moment than even the parents did. Now, we don't really know any of this yet because it's so early. It's one of the reasons I hate when people draw too strong of conclusions. And Jimmy certainly didn't do this. His was a very thoughtful perspective on responsible parenting, responsible gun ownership, and all of that. And by the way, I asked him if I could comment on what he said, because, you know, you don't want to catch other hosts off guard usually. Sometimes it's necessary. And he said, absolutely, it's fine. What's very weird to me is the different stories I heard about the parents. Once they charges were known, according to their attorney, they're going to voluntarily turn themselves in. And listen, this is very, very common. As an attorney, somebody calls, oh my God, the cop's been here. Oh my God, I just talked to the cop before I called you. By the way, pro tip, if you are accused of a crime, if you're being asked questions about a crime, and any little tidbit, any little glimmer in the back of your brain says they might be looking at me, or maybe you actually did the crime, or whatever it is, you have an absolute right to remain silent. Exercise it. Tell the officer if he calls you, if he shows up, look, you know, I want to cooperate with you, but I think I should have counsel present when I do. And then stop talking. Call me or whoever your lawyer happens to be. Please, I can't tell you the cases that get lost as a defense lawyer, and it's not always because someone's guilty. Sometimes they put themselves by talking first in the vicinity of a crime, and they're, you know. Anyway, I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, but exercise your rights. Don't talk to anybody. It's not uncommon at all for me to suggest to somebody if the police are out looking for them, look, keep yourself safe. Let me get a hold of the cop or the detective or the whomever, and then we'll arrange a surrender. We'll figure out what the bond is going to look like. We'll, you know, try to avoid a Friday night where you're almost guaranteed to spend a weekend in jail. That's just common sense and not a violation of anything. Coordination and communication. But what is a little bit suspect as far as these parents go is I guess, according to ABC News, they were they had left town on the night of the tragic shooting for their own safety, the attorney said. They're returning to the area to be arraigned. They are not fleeing from law enforcement. But it looks like they were caught by the Detroit Police Department when a business owner called 911 after spotting them or spotting their car in a parking lot and the wife, the mom, standing next to it. And she took off. Now, again, she fled the area on foot. Maybe if you're afraid that you're going to be another victim of the mob mentality or whatever, you might, you know, want to get out of sight until you get with your lawyer, until you get with the police officers or whatever. But anyway, they were located in a commercial building after an extensive search, according to the Detroit police, taken into custody without incident. All of this stuff so early in this kind of an investigation, you'll just never, ever know for sure until we get all the facts. And that could be weeks or months, and sometimes you never really get them all. But I guess my point is, if you're going to charge these parents, and again, I don't know the level of understanding they had of how disturbed this child was. You know, I was a pretty disturbed kid, and nobody knew it on the outside. I wasn't thinking about, you know, shooting up schools, but I was an angry kid. There were fights. There was a lot of things. And I put on a wonderful front. Part of the reason I left high school at 15 and never went back. Many of you know that story. But anyway, just let's withhold judgment a little bit. Obviously, the kid, good God, threw his life away, took the lives of others, the parents. Prayers for every single one of them. But don't allow the left to take advantage of this opportunity again to strip you of your constitutional, God-given right to self-defense, especially in your own home. Colorado legislature's already done that to you. Because if somebody busts into your home, you don't got time to get into the safe and then load the firearm. And I have talked myself all the way to the break. So David, Joe, Chuck, sorry, sit tight. We'll go right to the phones when we come back here on 710 KNUS. Headline on the TV. 550,000 estimated jobs created in November by the experts. That was their prediction. The result, 210,000. The failing economic policies of the creepy, sleepy, putative President Joe Biden administration. Don't forget, make sure you stick around for my upcoming apology to Kyle Clark. And I was just taken to task for referring to Joe Biden as the pedophile in chief. So we'll try and clean that up here in just a little while. Looks like we've got the usual culprits on the phone. We'll get started with them in just 1 second. But I don't want you to forget about Anthony Fauci.
So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science. Because I represent science.
Because I represent science. The guy who told you a year ago last January that we wouldn't have to worry about the CCP virus here in America. Who told you that you really don't have to wear a mask. You know, it doesn't do very much. And then went to wearing a mask to multiple masks. Then get the vaccine. You can go back to living your life. And then, well, the vaccine doesn't really protect you from getting the virus again unless you get a booster, now a second booster, soon a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth booster, I'm sure. And, of course, in talking about the Omicron, all he can talk about is numbers and what we really don't know. Well, actually, we really do know already based on what's happened in South Africa and other countries. No deaths, mild symptoms. Nobody talks about the value of herd immunity and letting this thing work its way through. And there is a great new song, and I'll just play less than a minute of it. I just love it. Dedicated, just simply dedicated to the one and only Fauci. And let me pull back, forget the name of the group, something having to do with August, but I have it written down here. It's okay, I didn't write it down. Well, I'll get you the name at the end. But this is part one of Sad Little Man.
keep you alive. Do what he says, not what he do. Cause the truth is for him and the lie is for you. Sad little man, but he's treated like a god. As the faithless pray to a fake and a fraud. Worship the man, pledge to his word. One shot, two shot, now you get a third. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know you can. Sad little man, sad little man. You don't fool me, you sad little man.
Mean Gene says, does such a good job cutting those up. Thank you for that, Gene. And it is, what'd you say, 5-something to August? Five times August. And of course, YouTube censored that song. We're going to play the whole thing, part two and part three. We may play it more than once over the course of the show, but they censored it. And they censored it because it includes content that has medical misinformation. Medical misinformation is a policy that's part of dangerous and harmful acts. So that political, musical art and commentary censored for medical misinformation. First, it was taken down, and then there was enough of an outcry that they had to put it back up, but they've demonetized it. So the guy who made the song is not going to be able to benefit by the ads, and I don't know how it all works. I don't pay that close of attention, but the power that these people have is just extraordinary. One quick text and then right to the phones. And this was the first text of the morning, came in at about 9:01. How about starting with when I said there's so much to talk about, I don't know what all to do. I've got my HOA meeting, my last one, which involved the Arapahoe County Sheriff and me, my first year check with Julie McCallan and the new addition to her practice that I can't wait to tell you about, to my upcoming, my big apology to Kyle Clark and all of his minions for referring to creepy Joe Biden as the pedophile in chief, and so much more. But the texter said, how about starting with why Republicans keep screwing over the American people? Man, oh man, that's what drew me into the Tea Party movement. That's what caught my attention when I was invited in to be on talk radio and started getting into political commentary and activism and changed leadership in the Republican Party, took out Ryan Call, who soon, I think, will be a convicted felon for his extortion from the Trump campaign of over $250,000. His law license was permanently removed by the Colorado Supreme Court just 2 or 3 months ago, published in the Colorado Lawyer and elsewhere. Was the chair of the Colorado State Republican Party, one of my first really... It's not my act, but my office was a central point, and phones and conferences and decision-making and coordination with people and lots of good people who actually knew what they were doing. I was just privileged to be along for the ride, but replaced him when he thought, you know, he was a shoo-in and was very arrogant right up to the day that he lost. So, I get it. These 19 Republicans who, in order to stop a dangerous government shutdown, gave so many gifts to the radical left and the Biden administration. But let's remember this, Texter. It was only 19. You know, there are 50 Republicans in the U.S. Senate. And I know we've had House members who did the same thing. Ken Buck was not among them. He did not sign off on this bill. So it's a numbers game, and we've got to get not just more Republicans into office, but more principled fighter Republicans into office. So I hope that helps answer your question. Let's get to the phones now. Who's been waiting the longest? Looks like David in Centennial. You're on 710 KNUS. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm a conservative.
David, you're fading in and out. We're getting about every other word. Can you fix that?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm a conservative, and I'm an artist. And I have a hard time with the art world right now because, you know, most of them are liberal. And it's hard, you know. All my friends are liberal.
I'm so sorry, David. We're going to have to move on because we keep getting every other word. But David's line is open, 303-696-1971. David, I I hear you. I mean, you think about what Hollywood actors are going through. I met Kevin Sorbo and his wife. What did he play? Hercules? I don't watch those movies, but I think it was Hercules. And his wife's tremendous actress, great author, funny as can be. Had her on the show when we were broadcasting live from a CPAC. I think we've had her on once by phone. But they just get shut out. They just get knocked out when they stand up for their conservative principles. And I can imagine how that plays in the world of painting and the world of Broadway plays. And remember how the cast of Hamilton humiliated Vice President Mike Pence when he just innocently attended one of the premiere shows, and I think it was on Broadway in New York. It's a politicized world that we live in, and you know what? That is not an excuse for not standing up. That's the thing that you need to remember. In fact, it ought to be your inspiration, your motivation for standing up, because we don't have any choice. We are not going to permit this country to be flushed down the left-wing radical toilet that the one in which the bowl is currently filling. But, you know, Mr. Plumber and Mr. Clean are on the way, because the American people, thanks to the radical left finally exposing themselves for who and what they are, not even hiding it anymore, American people are waking up. So, yeah, it's got to be tough to be an artist. And we'll play some more of Sad Little Man here as the show goes on. Chuck in Tulsa is back. Chuck, good morning. Welcome to 710.
Morning, Randy. You imagine, Ron DeSantis is running for reelection. Can you imagine if you wake up in the next morning, day after, and he loses by 10 points? Would you have to say, it's those crazy conservatives running too far to the right. We have to find a better candidate. When you look at the way, let's say, like the Rittenhouse trial was framed, like in the news and by politicians, and you used a good example of the vaccines and so forth, like everything. So why is it that all that is exposed and everything else, but when it comes to elections, we have to believe like what the media and the politicians are saying. It's as clean as a virgin. I mean, it couldn't have been anything out there that was underhanded. I just don't understand the mentality.
Well, Chuck. Yes, you do. Because it's not a mentality. It is a game. It is propaganda. Stacey Abrams is now saying, I didn't fail to concede when I lost the governor's race in Georgia. Of course she did. There's recordings of her all over the place when she was saying that, she just simply never said the word concession. If she ever did, it was months and months and months in. And the George W. Bush election over Al Gore, the media was completely open to the possibility of that being a stolen election, or once the Supreme Court finally said we're done counting, well, that was a political decision. It's a double standard that only applies against the right, and I just won't tolerate it anymore.
Look at Alec Baldwin. I mean, he says, I didn't pull the trigger, and everyone's saying, he's sincere. I think you really do have to believe him. Well, I know it's being relitigated like over and over and over again, but the thing about it is I just feel so helpless, because I know like how I'm gonna vote, and I don't know why in the world that election integrity has become like the n-word of the Republican Party or our side.
Well, it's not. It is in some circles for sure. It's a focus, not the main focus, but a big focus in other circles, including the Republican Party. The Republican Party has lawsuits going to defend laws that were passed after the joke of an election in 2020, laws that were passed to tighten up things like voter ID, to not have same-day registration, to not have provisional ballots just automatically counted, to require signature verifications. Simple security steps, things you'd have to go through to get your library card, And they're being challenged by Democrats. And the RNC is litigating in multiple states on those fronts. They put together a tremendous plan. We put together, and I wasn't in those meetings to create the plan, but I sure learned about it along the way. A great plan for Virginia, which was kind of the test case for the 2022 and 2024 elections. And part of the way that they secured that election was by just simply having people on the ground, lawyers ready to act, volunteers and paid staff, so that Democrats weren't counting votes without being watched, making sure processes were being followed, et cetera. It's not a dirty word, and it's I don't think it's not going away, Chuck. So be confident, my friend.
But now is not the time to run from the American First agenda. I hear that, and I think to myself, that's just absolutely insane. This run back to the middle, what, with Mitt Romney and John McCain and candidates like that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, and, someone who pops to mind is Walker Stapleton, who is as nice a guy some conservative principles, but a middle-of-the-road candidate, one of those ones that's going to reach out to, both sides, but especially those independents. There's really a fundamental misunderstanding of independents, and I'm going to get into that one of these days. I keep talking about it.
You need to, because if you sacrifice your base, you can have all the independents like in the world, and you're not going to win. I'm sorry.
You're right. Chuck, we got to jump. We're at the top, or at the break. I appreciate the call. Hope you stay well there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. God bless.
Thanks.
All right. Chuck's is the only open line we've got, 303-696-1971. Joe, you'll be up first when we come out. I know we've got Lexi waiting, but Joe's been waiting for a very long time. Right now, though, it's time to take a break. You're listening to Wake Up with Randy Corporan here, 710 KNUS. I used to kind of vocalize the guitar riff here, but since there's no music on the podcast anymore, it really makes me sound stupid. Stupider, more stupid, for people who are listening on the podcast and don't know that there was some music. Before we get to Joe and Lexi and Sherry on the phone, really, really excited about the results of my first annual checkup with Dr. Julie McCallan at Cenogenics. You've been hearing from me over and over that your chronological age and your biological age can be so very different. A healthy 50-year-old may have a lower biological age than an overweight 30-year-old in poor health. And, man, I'm going to share some of my numbers with you from the before and after. Just in physical fitness, in the ability to push on that bike, and less fat, more muscle. It's incredible when you can actually see for yourself the changes in your blood chemistry, your hormone chemistry, and the actual images and percentages in your own body. And it makes me very, very excited to have Dr. Julie McCallan and Cenogenics as a sponsor of this show. And man, oh man, she's got a new doctor. I've heard about this guy. We've talked about things like, masking and the dangers of or the lack of utility of the virus, the vaccines. And now it's proving out that they don't prevent you from getting COVID-19. And I don't mean to get down into the nuance of all of that, but she has got an amazing doctor joining her practice, Dr. Tim Watts. Do everything I can to try and get those two in studio sometime soon. But he is certified by the American Board of Neurological Surgery, the American Board of Anti-Aging Medicine. He's completed the Advanced Fellowship in Anti-Aging, Functional, and Regenerative Medicine at the Academy, the American Academy. Come on, Randy. The American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And, man, I'll tell you, when you hear this guy talk, it really gets you excited. Here's what he had to say on masks about a year ago.
Hi, I'm Dr. Watt, the healthy neurosurgeon. As mask hysteria continues, lots of people say you need to wear a mask because they wear them in the operating room. Well, guess what? Lots of scientific studies have been done looking at infection rates, whether we wear masks in the OR or not. All of the studies have shown one of two things: either no difference in infection rate for patients, whether the OR team wore masks or not, or actually an increased rate of infection for patients when the OR team wore the mask. Wearing a mask in surgery keeps your blood from splattering into my face. We wear them, frankly, because it's just what we do. They don't decrease patient infections. You want to wear a mask? Go ahead. You want to put a plastic bag over your head? Fine by me, but don't use what I do in the OR as an excuse for your behavior. Mask wearing really isn't brain surgery.
It's got this whole series of 1 or 2 minute clips. That's about 59 seconds on YouTube. It's not brain surgery. Brain surgeon. So hope to be able to introduce them to you. But I am so pleased with my first year at Cenogenix. I hope you'll call Cenogenix to schedule your consultation today. The phone number is 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. They'll get back to you. You'll get your free 20 minutes with Dr. Julie and soon Dr. Tim, Dr. Watts. And the website is denver.cenogenix.com. Denver.cenogenix.com. Back to the phones now with Joe in Arvada. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Randy. First, I want to say I'm so glad we have a conservative voice like you on KNUS still. I got the vaccine so I could protect my family. That's what they told us. Remember, protect your family.
Sure.
And I didn't want my mom, you know, who is diabetic, and my dad has, there's some possibilities that they could be, get it, and it could hurt them. Well, now we know it doesn't stop you from getting infected, and it doesn't stop transmission. So, you know, the question is, why are we getting it? And then I just watched a VAERS video of parents, a heartbreaking video of parents who lost their child a day or a few days after getting the vaccine. And they do not tell you that this vaccine can kill you. That is something that is clear by these reactions where the kid, a 5 to 11-year-old or a teenager, gets the vaccine shot and their heart, has some kind of, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it has some kind of reaction and their heart stops. And can you imagine the horror of a parent that they, you know, reluctantly agree to let their kid get a shot, and then 2 days later, they're gone. Why are we not showing this, and shouldn't these tech giants that are blocking this information, we're only getting a small fraction of the adverse reaction events because tech giants like Facebook and Google are covering it up. They don't want people to know what's really going on.
It's pretty terrifying.
I'm frustrated.
And remember what they told you, Joe, that people who are not having, who weren't symptomatic, asymptomatic people, could still spread the disease. Now they're saying that's not true. You know, show the evidence that people who are asymptomatic are spreading this disease. So every time they suck somebody in with propaganda, pressure, guilt, and only one side of the story, the goal is to get as many people vaccinated as possible and then boosted as possible. And I'll guarantee you 6 months from now or maybe less as we get into flu season, we'll be up to the fifth or sixth booster shot, you know, and you're not fully vaccinated until you get them all.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to keep going. It's going to be a booster a week. No matter how many die from the booster, these kids, by the way, have such a low chance of having any problem from COVID. It's insane to think that a child should die from a vaccine.
Joe, I litigated a case a couple of weeks ago about a foster baby, and they wanted to remove the child because the very young, very healthy parents, one specifically trained in premature baby nursing, refused to get vaccinated. And so that led me to look and see, and it was like 214, I think, was the total baby boys and girls, not babies either, from 0 to 8. 214 is the approximate number. I could pull it up on the break, of children who have died of the CCP virus since the beginning, since the counting. And that was through the first or second week of November. those statistics right off the CDC website. 214 with thousands of babies dying in cribs. You know, go ahead.
Why are we not seeing the numbers of children that have died from the vaccine?
Yeah.
Please, please listen to me, medical community. Those numbers must be published. Why are we not seeing these numbers? And then the other thing, I'm sure you saw this. There was a case where a man had to go to court to get ivermectin. He was dying of COVID. They kept giving him other solutions. They finally won their court case. He got ivermectin. A few days later, he recovered. Why is that not all over the news?
I responded to a DORA, Department of Regulatory Agencies, complaint against a doctor yesterday, actually. And the complaint of the anonymous complainant was that this particular medical person was providing information about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And I attached two very reputable studies, links to those studies, to that letter to DORA. But it doesn't stop them, because it's not about the science. It's not about the medicine. It is a propaganda game. And Joe, when I've had parents battling over whether to vaccinate their children, obviously the ones who don't want to do it are the ones who come to me. But I send that parent a link to the video of the interview done on Fox and Friends with me and Officer Jose Manriquez, what happened to him after he took the jab. And I also send him a link to a video of the mom of Maddie DeGaray, or DeGaray, however it's pronounced. I think she was 12 years old at the time, when the entire family decided that it was their duty as good citizens to participate in the testing of the vaccines. They volunteered in a Pfizer COVID experiment. And the little girl, horseback riding, active young lady, now in a wheelchair and in pain and with tubes running up and down. And the videos are there. And so given the low death rate, especially now as we get into these variants that appear to be less and less harmful, or at least symptomatic, and certainly less lethal, and the fact that we've delayed actually getting any kind of herd immunity in the country by letting this work its way through the healthy population, where it would do virtually, in most cases, no harm, we're creating harm, and we're forcing people to harm themselves in some cases. I've talked to a lot of people that haven't had any bad side effects at all, sore arm maybe. But, you know, they've only had that in their body for 6 months. We don't know what the long-term consequences are either.
Exactly. Years from now, we all may be regretting at all getting the first vaccine. And I'll tell you what, I'll never take a booster. But we have got to do something within this United States to stop Google and Facebook from censoring this material. It's killing people. We need to get that's done. Congress, Republicans have got to stand up and stop these tyrants from censoring the American people.
Always great to hear from you, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too, Randy.
All right, my friend. We're at the top of the hour. Lexi and Sherry, I hope you'll stick around. Joe's line is open, 303-696-1971. But when we come back, we're going to be joined by Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Lopez. Second hour of the show is ahead, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.